I will do anything for my son. Like, I want to be able to take my son to France. I've never been there before. I want him to experience that.
Jackie Robinson West is a legendary little man.
Oh, yeah.
On the South Side. They don't have to recruit.
It's the future!
Down and Distance on WGNplus.com.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Jared Payton. You're checking out the new podcast, Down and Distance, on WGNplus.com, aka DAD. This is just a different format that you're used to probably when you're talking about sports. This is where sports and being a parent collides. It's me and my man Sean M. Davis on Twitter. You got so many aliases. Is there one that you want to go by? Aren't you the Picasso on the board?
I started out aka Preppy.
Yeah, but okay.
And, you know, I got the nickname Twitter Gangster.
Yes.
I didn't like that. It's not good for my brand.
No, it's not good for your brand. No. We're trying to build you. Your brand is expanding.
But I'm Picasso, baby.
Picasso, baby.
Picasso, baby.
I like that, man. Man, this is where we get a forum to talk some sports, but also, since we're both fathers, kind of talk about just our relationship with our kids and also problems that we deal with every single day of being a parent. And I don't think there's anything like this out there, Sean, where you get a chance to kind of, you know, listen to some sports, but also, you know, hear what's going on in your son or daughter's life that will kind of trigger something like, man, we were just talking about that yesterday, yeah, babe, you know what I mean? So this is going to be that form. Check out on Twitter, on Facebook, DandPod, the hashtag, if you want to find any of the previous podcasts. This is going to be the floor, man. I'm opening it up to you. What you got?
The amazing thing, we start out this podcast with the controversial story coming out of Chicago, national story, Jackie Robinson West being stripped of the U.S. National Championship from Little League International. Of course, you look at this, myself playing Little League in the inner city of Chicago, understanding the culture and how things work. I understand why things happened. You had to strip it because those are the rules that you abide by, according to Little League International. My question to all the dads out there, all the parents out there, how far will you go to advocate for your child in sports, to put them in certain leagues that might give them a better opportunity to be a part of better competition or possibly having a better chance to win in tournaments nationally?
I don't know if for me now, as I look at it, because it's a little bit different, Sean, from when we were coming up to not really having. The internet was just at the beginning, and it was at its beginning stages of like the dial-up in AOL.
Yeah.
So we're not talking about now the new day and age athlete, but these kids nowadays, there's so many different ways to get them seen or to put them in AAU leagues or travel soccer for these kids to get that experience. For the parents that maybe want their kid to be in a league so they win, I feel like there's a problem with that because they got to learn also how to lose. They can't win all the time. And I've seen some parents actually just, oh, we're going to put them here because they'll never lose. I don't know if that's teaching them kind of just when you talk about sportsmanship and winning and losing in life in general. But I don't have a problem with putting them somewhere where they get to go against the best competition. Hmm. I have no problem with that. Put them in a place where they have to be able to grind, where they are going to be successful, but also they're going to fail, to teach them those life lessons. And I look back on my time when I was going into my freshman year at St. Vider High School. I mean, I went there to play soccer and to get a good education.
Strictly for soccer.
Strictly for soccer. That's why. I mean, it was like, it's a great school. It's smaller. It's great for you. And it ended up being the best thing for me. But I went there because, man, I saw the soccer program. I knew the guys that played on that team. A lot of those guys were on my club team. So I felt familiar with them to say, listen, I'll go there, have an opportunity to play. But I also know I'm going to be not only playing against great competition, but in practice, I'm going up against high caliber players. So if I do want to move on to the next level, I'm already getting myself ready, not only just in sports, but then I went there to be ready for going into college too. It got me ready for college and school and in sports.
Geographical location was the reason why Jackie Robinson West got in trouble here.
Okay.
So we're talking about certain players on their team being outside of their district, being ineligible to play with that league, which is the rules, but it's funny based upon the way things are structured in the city of Chicago. On the south side of Chicago, you might have two creditable little leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Two.
It's not enough.
Now we're talking about going from Allgale Gardens on 130th Street all the way down to 55th, which is where most people consider the south side of Chicago. That's a large area.
Mm-hmm.
And when you give them six neighborhoods spanning from Morgan Park to Inglewood to where they can choose their players from, and you have other neighborhoods with other kids that have talent in the game of baseball, but they have no credible leagues in their neighborhood, what are they supposed to do? And this is something else that's being pointed out that I think is a misconception. Don't come out of this thinking that Jackie Robinson West is recruiting. Jackie Robinson West is a legendary little league.
Oh, yeah.
On the south side. They don't have to recruit.
No.
There's a waiting list of parents within the city and the suburbs that want their kids to play for that league because they understand that it puts them in the best position to extend their career to high school, college, and even into professional ranks. They have the history of doing that. They have a connection now with the Bulls and Sox Academy. They've just given out 21 D1 scholarships over the last 2 years for kids that came through that program. So when you have that and you have a kid that's good at baseball, who wouldn't want to advocate for their child and put them in a position where they can be successful in that particular sport? And if all I have to do is find a way to lie possibly or find an address on my child's registration.
Can we say bend the rules?
Bend the rules.
Bend the rules.
It's lying.
Because
we can call it bend the rules, but what they're doing, they're lying about where they live.
But as a parent, though, that's the one thing that I've learned. My son's going to be 3 in March, and that I've started to understand is that I will do anything for my son.
Yeah.
I'll do anything. So if it's going to help him down the line, I'm going to take the fall for him if I have to. Whatever it is, man, because he's got a lot of life to live.
Do you feel shame as a parent? Should the parents of these kids feel shame that things have come out? We're talking about kids that didn't live on the outskirts of the city. We're talking about kids that lived in Linwood, which is maybe 20 minutes from Jackie Robinson West, or Dalton, which is another 15 minutes from Jackie Robinson West.
No, I don't. I think on the outside, there are going to be parents, there are going to be people that look at it and say that they should be ashamed. But when you went back and you gave those stats about the Bulls and Sox Academy, about the scholarships, and we're talking about bettering the lives of a lot of kids, when you talk about the Jackie Robinson program, it stands for something. And there's a reason why there's a waiting list.
Yeah.
There's a reason why that parents and kids are waiting, because it gives them an opportunity. It's hard for me because I'm all about bettering people and having a better opportunity for them to be successful. And it's hard when we're talking about sports, because I'd rather have kids picking up baseballs, basketballs, footballs, soccer balls than to be out doing something that's not constructive for their communities.
We can't quantify in numbers what Jackie Robinson Little League has meant to young men on the South Side. You can only quantify it in time.
But I'll go even
decades
further.
Decades of young men. Decades.
Yeah.
I won't even get into numbers. Decades of young men. Their lives have been changed and saved.
Yes.
Because of Jackie Robinson Little League.
Okay, but you can't even put the number on how many people it impacted.
At all.
Just
families,
even just
children.
Recent. I'm talking about recent, in the last year and a half, what
Absolutely.
It meant to the city of Chicago. I mean, this city is, we know what it's like for our pro sports teams. These are little leaguers. They had people on the weekends who were, I was locked down. I shut down everything that I had to do to watch them play baseball.
Yeah.
This is little league. This is not, I don't even watch college baseball. I was tuned in like I was watching the Bears, locked in, and everybody was talking about it. And to me, it takes those special moments where people don't see race, where they don't see where a background from where these kids, and they just watch people play. To me, that's the greatest thing about sports, Sean, is when you're in love with a team and you have a favorite team, man, you're at a sporting event, you look at the person next to you, they're wearing the same jersey, maybe a different number, but you're both cheering.
You're high-fiving. Doesn't you're high-fiving. Make a difference, man, what neighborhood you came
from.
Don't
matter.
It doesn't matter.
No, and so that's what they did for a lot of people here in Chicago.
Yeah, even in losing.
Yeah.
The world championship game, they still showed great sportsmanship. They shook hands like they were the team that won.
Yeah.
It was even shocking to Japan, like, man, what's going on? Why are they so happy? Because they're playing the game the right way. Daryl Butler, their head coach, is under immense scrutiny today. Everybody's blaming him for being the one that masterminded the bending of the rules. If you know anything about the way little leagues go, the administrators run that league. The coach coaches.
Yes.
He doesn't have the final say. He has the final say on the field, but when it comes to constructing those all-star teams, he's a small part of that decision-making.
Okay.
So when you think about that, if you're going to give him criticism for this scandal, give him the same due for the way those young men comported themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about the leadership that was shown, the sportsmanship,
but that,
the smiles.
I think
of that is a reflection of the leadership.
Exactly, and I think that the whole entire experience for those young men, just being in front of the camera, being in the spotlight, seeing what it means, they became leaders to so many kids who are coming up, people, just even adults. What it means to be able to, you know how many adults have a hard time being in front of the camera? You know how many grown-ups don't, I mean, you tell them they're going to go on TV, they're like, oh my goodness, yeah. A radio show, oh my, they handle themselves like pros. And it goes back to the leadership of whoever is at the helm. You are what you see most of the time.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, the question,
are you putting your child in a tough situation? I'll look at it from this standpoint. I remember when my daughter Arielle, she was getting tested in for kindergarten, city schools, and she tested into the number one school in the city. We live in the suburbs. So everybody surrounding the situation was ecstatic about what she was able to do in those testing. But as a dad, I had to make a final decision. Did I want to put my daughter in position to have to be part of a lie? Did I want to force her to have to remember a certain address if something was asked of her at the age of 5?
That's tough.
I had options, though. I had options, P. I can say, look, we can send you to private school.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that. We're blessed enough. And we're in that position. We can do that, even though you tested into this public school. There are a lot of people in the inner city that don't have those options, whether they're single moms or they just don't come from a two-income family. Or they just don't have it. They don't have those options. So when you come into a position where all they have is an opportunity for that child to take a bus, whether it be from the suburbs or another neighborhood, to go and experience competition to make them better in a sport that might get them an education and might put them in a position to be a professional, how do you say no to that? Like, when does your integrity come into play to where as you say, what I'm doing is against the rules of Little League International? Are you thinking about Little League International or are you thinking about your child's future?
More than likely, you're making a decision on your child's
Absolutely,
future.
Absolutely, you're making a decision
on
your child's and future.
And I think you said one of the things that jumps out first to me is for down the line when you talk about scholarships and an opportunity to go to school, it's expensive now.
Absolutely.
If you sit with any financial advisor and you go through your 5-year plan, your 10-year plan, they start to show you, and then what college is going to cost. By the time my son gets to school, and I looked at that paper, and I go, it's like buying a house every single year. There's just the average American's not going to be able to afford that. So if that is a way for you to be able to go to school and to better yourself, that's what parents are thinking about. Man, it's an opportunity to get a scholarship. My dad, and I'm just like you, my family was blessed. My dad didn't have to worry about that. But I remember him stressing over, was he going to get a scholarship? I mean, he even put it on the line. He told me my sophomore year, he's like, yo, this is our deal. You get a scholarship, you get a car.
Was soccer, though.
Yeah, this is at
he
soccer.
He was thinking soccer.
Yeah, he's like, listen, you get a deal, you get a car. Whatever you want. Figure it out.
So he had no thought of the football,
no.
Joe Paterno showing up in his living room, Barry Alvarez coming to his living room.
None of that.
Sophomore year is strictly soccer.
Strictly soccer.
And this is what we're building everything around.
Yeah, listen, I want you to get this scholarship. I mean, we got the money to take care. If you don't, we're good. Get that scholarship. You can get it. You get a car. I mean, I need you. I want you to work towards that. And I think just to take a little bit off of his back. I mean, as a kid, you don't really understand your parents and how much they sacrifice and the bills that they pay for you. And if you have siblings and if it's just one of you or two of you, it doesn't really matter. You see the bills start piling up. I don't care if you have all the money in the world. When you have to sign off on bills, you look at them, you go, I went to my son's daycare the other day. And I'm glad I never pay for that bill. And I had to swipe my credit card.
She dropped the extra 50 for more gummy bears?
No. I was going to. But she slid me the card and the receipt, and I went to go sign, and I was like,
whoa.
Wow. But that's the same thing. It's hard for me to put a dollar amount on my son's education. I'll pay whatever because we had options to where we were going to send him. And my wife showed me three different levels of daycares. Here's not so good. Here's middle of the road. Here's the best. And I went to the best, and I was like,
was there a waiting list?
No, there was no waiting list on the best.
No waiting list at the best.
No waiting list on the best.
When you walked in, did they know who you were?
Yes.
Did that help out?
Yes. It did help out. But also, it wasn't just that. It was the feeling that I got when I went there first.
Okay.
I went there first and then went down. So I went down the hill, and my wife looked at me and I said, "You got to make it work. We got to make it work for the first place we went to because that's where he's going to get this best education." And you probably feel the same way. You want them to get the best of everything. You want them to have even things that you never had a chance to have or opportunities or even seeing different places that you've never seen before. Like, I want to be able to take my son to France. I've never been there before. I want him to experience that.
Right.
So it's when it comes down to it, as a parent, I think we want to do whatever we can for our kids. And the people on the outside might look at it and say, oh, that's not right. But I think let's throw it into the realm of playing the sport. You got a kid that lives a little bit, 20 minutes outside of the borders of where the cutoff is, right?
Right.
Who comes and plays on a team. Listen, to me, I don't really have a problem with it. The birth certificate to me is the bigger issue. I want to know that it's an even playing field, that I'm not.
Because ultimately we're talking about competition here.
Yeah. So just that's it about competition. Like, make sure I could care less if someone's coming from 20 miles. I used to have kids that were coming to different areas from Rockford all the way out to Schaumburg just to play because their parents would take them every day for practice because they wanted the best competition. I'm cool with that. Just make sure it's an even playing field. Everybody's the same age. I could care less. Then let's play.
Let's run it down right now. Jaden, 10 years from now. Soccer, where is he going?
Oof. If he would go somewhere in the Carolinas, probably.
No, for high school.
Oh, high school?
For high school.
I mean, high school, probably St. Vider. If Coach Taylor, who coached me, is still around or has his protégés still around and the program still on the top and still going to the top, yeah, he would probably go there.
Football.
I don't know. I would actually have to make a decision on where would he get the best competition. And I would the same
way. I guarantee you it wouldn't be Chicago Public Schools.
Well, no.
Not for football.
But for basketball.
Where is he going? We already talked. I have an address if he wants to go to Simeon.
See, now we're bending the rules.
I told you. We're bending the rules, but Michael Jordan bent the rules.
True.
His son started out at Loyola.
No, I saw him play
somehow
there.
Somehow ended up with Whitney Young. Why?
He wanted better competition, and I get it. But I'm gonna try to, once you want to seek out the same thing, like just as your kid would be going to college, now we're seeing parents looking at these high schools and searching out because
you put yourself in a position to where you want to make the dream happen.
Yes.
If I have to make a $50,000 donation to Juilliard to assure a spot for my daughter, there's no shame. I have absolutely no shame. Other people might find out and be upset, but at that point in time, because I want to make that dream come true for her, I have no shame. I'm cutting the check.
I think most parents would do that.
Without that, most parents would do that.
So it's hard to be up here and be a parent and shame another parent on wanting to. It's hard because every situation is so different. And we all come from different backgrounds. We come from, and so to me to look at someone and say, why are they doing that? They should be ashamed.
Plus the same thing. As Jackie Robinson West. Are we circumventing the process?
See?
Are we bending the rules? Are we trying to get around what everybody else has to deal with or goes through? What's any different than networking? If you know someone in a particular company and they're hiring, are you wrong for going through them? Should you give up your job if others find out?
No. Most people aren't going
to. No, they're not going to give up the job.
Because it all comes down to it. See, I like where we're going, man.
You're listening to Down and Distance on WGNplus.com.
This is Down and Distance, the podcast, a.k.a. Dad. Two dads just talking about sports. And I also said, what is it, when sports and being a parent collides, man. This is something that you never hear. It's a different format, but we're going to try to give you the best of the best every single week. Myself, Jared Payton, Sean M. Davis, that's my guy. You were talking about something else that jumped out to me, and it was how the internet has changed the modern day athlete.
Absolutely.
I think in the sense of recruiting, also how you even have an opportunity now with social media to put your own self out there. From the days when I graduated in 99, I had to rely on my coach.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, 20 years too late.
Too late.
I needed to exist, or needed for it to exist, when the U was at the pinnacle.
Yes.
When Michael Irvin was in college, that's when I needed Instagram. When Luke was around that program, that's when I needed the pictures. That's when I needed the pictures. Now,
nah, you might not want those.
I don't want those pictures.
I don't know.
I want a little Nevin Shapiro party Instagram pic. I need that.
There's probably some of those out there somewhere.
It probably is.
Yeah, just check the hashtags. But you did talk about how, you know, we used to have to use our coaches to push us for recruiting. And my days was still VHS. So my coach, Kevin Kelly, had over 100 tapes, like VHS tapes, that he would send out. Now you don't have to do that anymore. It's a link. It's a video. It's your huddle video. That gets sent now. So now you're not flooding these college coaches with all these tapes and DVDs. Now it's just a link and you go and check it on your computer. And plus, even the way that teammates interact through social media.
Coach is lazy now, though. See, when I can sit in my office and hit a link, and I don't actually have to go sit and watch you play, and I can see somebody edit all of your great plays.
But that's it. That's the difference. The difference from the great coaches who get top-notch guys are still those guys that are out going to see games as much as they did before before the technology. Nick Saban's still out there going to see games. There are certain guys that are doing it. Not everybody's doing it anymore. Most people are sitting from the comfort of their offices just clicking or having other coaches. And if they're going through film, a lot of guys aren't going through. And I think the great coaches now are going through film where they're watching not just the highlights. They're watching every down as much as possible in every game from their junior and senior year, even if they had good years in their sophomore years. The good coaches are doing that.
Okay, but this is what I don't get. Perfect example this past week, LeBron James.
Oh, yeah.
Issue with Kevin Love, tries to go at him on Twitter, then backtracks, then gets upset when the media grabs hold of it and tries to blame the media. RG3, he jumps on Instagram, he's going at it with a fan. Have we created an athlete now that doesn't know how to deal with issues directly or to ignore things that don't even need to be touched from a communication standpoint and definitely from a public relations standpoint. They're immature.
Yeah.
When it comes to being athletes, but it's been created because now the boundaries of communication have been eliminated based upon Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. They feel like they can say what they want to say when they want to say it, but they can't be judged. Don't judge me. I can express myself however I feel, but heaven forbid that you judge what I express. Don't do that because you're trying to start something. You're trying to take my words and twist it. And that's the problem.
Yeah, don't.
If you're going to have freedom of speech, have the integrity to be accountable.
That's the
part. To what you put out there.
That's the part that gets me. You can say how you feel, but once you put it out there in a Twitter sphere, in a Facebook post, it really does become, it's for everybody. I mean, you're putting it out there, and so you have to be ready for the repercussions. And it's just like anything in life. Not everybody's going to agree with how you feel. Not everybody's going to like you. You see it more and more on Instagram. I don't really read people's comments, but I like going to really famous people's pages and just reading some of the comments that on their pictures. I was on Kim Kardashian's Instagram page.
Bing.
With her and Kanye, and she was just talking about Kanye's performance in the Grammys. And I started reading I read about 15 comments, and they were all just negative. Like, all just negative. And she had how many likes on that? I think close to 500,000 likes. All these comments. And I just started to think, does she read them?
Does she regret posting it?
Yeah, or does she read them? Do they get to her anymore because of the how she lives? Are we just immune to it because this is the world that we live in now? And it's just, because before you talked about the Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, to me, communication has been broken down because of text messaging. People don't talk anymore. Like, we don't talk. And even my conversations with you, I'll text message with you for a minute, but I'll call you because I'm going to talk to you.
Right.
Yeah. I'd rather talk to you on the phone than text message. You might text message me and I call you back in a second. Like, no, I got to talk to him because I never wanted to get lost of what I'm trying to say on text where I could just say to you. And I just feel like as a society, we don't talk as much anymore. So yeah, guys don't want to express anything. Oh, you know what? Bron's like, I'm not going to say anything to him. Like, I'll just put it out there on Twitter. And then when people ask me about it, I'll just say, nah, that wasn't for him.
If anyone texts me consistently and we have a relationship, you make me feel like you don't want to be bothered. Just period.
Yeah. That's normally how
it is. If I constantly text you, I really don't want to be bothered. Let's just be honest. So parents, if your child is constantly texting you and they're in the house with you, they really don't want to be bothered with you.
That's
Something's
weird.
Wrong with that.
That is weird.
That's weird, right?
Yeah, because you have to, you know, growing up, it was different for us. We would sit down and have, you know, dinner and we'd talk about stuff that was going on
every
day. And no one does that. And so I figured out in my household, because we're now a society that it's all instant, everything is so fast that everybody kind of eats. And I always tell people that I'm trying to change the history in my household when it comes to what my son is seeing as he grows up now, that becomes a staple of, that becomes his norm, that we eat together two or three times a week. And we make it happen where we sit down, we turn the TV off, and we sit and eat. He's three, but we still ask him, how was school today? Just so he can get into repetition that this is what our norm is, this is what we do. And, you know, to kind of change things, because in my household when I was growing up, everything was so fast. We ate when we felt like eating. I don't want to do that anymore. We gotta get back to talking to one another, man.
Jaden's a 12-year-old football player. Does he have an Instagram page?
Oh, this is going to sound so bad. For him, a boy, yes. He's already three and he has a Twitter page that I manage, but I know one day he's going to ask me, yo, let me get that, Pops. He's going to have a couple thousand on there and be like, yeah. If I had a daughter.
See, this goes directly to my.
If I had a daughter.
Yeah.
I would be very I would be very cautious.
My 12-year-old, she wrote a 2-page essay because this is the way I handle things. Whether it's tattoos or anything else that she might want to do, write me an essay on the purpose of it. Explain to me why you need it in your life. And if I agree with it, I'll go with you. You want a tattoo? You write me an essay. If it makes sense, I'll go with you.
Wow.
I have no problem. So she wrote me a 2-page essay on why she should have Instagram. I mean, she did tremendous research. Background on Instagram, the purpose she would use it for, what she wouldn't do. Explained to me her integrity, her characteristics in comparison to what other people do. I mean, this thing was thorough.
Your conclusion, sir?
I broke down. Her mother was on her side. She thought that she was mature enough and it was time. And it wasn't a week later that she saw something on her auntie's page that hurt her feelings. And we had to tell her to unfollow her auntie.
Wow. You don't
like because people don't realize whether it's a phone, social media, that's a responsibility.
It is.
And at the age of 12, is your child able to handle?
Are they ready?
Are they ready to handle everything that they're going to be connected to and everything that they're going to see?
Because now it brings up even a whole different can of worms. I never even thought of that.
So our 13 and 14-year-old freshmen in high school playing basketball, football, any other sport, are they ready to talk about their team, their teammates, their particular sport, the school that's the rival? Can they really handle everything that comes with that on social network and social media? Should they be given that accountability, that responsibility? Mm-hmm. When we have 30-year-old men that can't handle an issue in the locker room and choose to do it via Twitter to get across a point, when you just saw me earlier today at practice.
Just say something.
Just say something.
Simple. I don't know if we put all – I don't think it's right for us to put all the pressure on these 12, 13, 14-year-olds to be able to handle.
But that goes into the things that lead to what your organization is all about, eliminating bullying.
Yeah.
We see it all the time in high school via social media.
And that's when I meant that other can of worms, that's what I was talking about. Because now you're posting something and people see it, they can comment, and you never know what kind of comments you're going to get. You don't know. So you have to, are you ready for that? Are you ready for that criticism? Are you ready? Are you strong enough when someone says, oh, you don't look good at all? Are you ready for all that? Ew, you look, are you, I don't know. I don't know. And we know where kids are at that age.
I can only
imagine.
I
know where I was.
We were rivals. Morgan Park and Simeon. Most of us either played at Jackie Robinson West or Rose and Little League growing up. We knew each other. Knew each other's families, went to church together. So I can only imagine if we had social media leading up to a big game on a Tuesday afternoon at 3:15, if I had my phone in class, trash talking would probably have been at an all-time high. Because I would have been following the guys on Simeon. They would have been following me. And we would have been going back and forth. I mean, we trash talked when we saw each other out in the street. And if I saw them the Sunday before at church, oh, we talked. Before service, during service, after service.
it takes it to another level now with this, with the internet.
You know, and we just didn't have the accessibility
yeah.
to do all of those things. But that's in us as competitors. So when you talk about 14, 15-year-olds being competitors and wanting to be the best and having rivals, you know, is it too much to give them social media access?
I don't know.
What's that age? 14, 15? But you probably said Jaden is cool at 12.
I would say 12. Yeah, 12, 13. He might be able to be able to have the one thing as a parent. I want to be able to follow them back. So no private page and mom and dad can't see. No, listen. If you're gonna be putting it out there, and you know what, and I hope that everything that I've done leading up to that point, as he gets older, he starts to see. This is how you do things, to teach him along the way that, listen, man, this is how daddy does things. Watch how daddy does things. And so hopefully that he can be the same kind of visual learner and just see. So he already has kind of the blueprint. It's how we do things. You know, no swearing on social media. There's no profanity. We don't do that. We don't swear. We don't go after anybody. Like, we're not.
You know what's going to happen, though, right?
Someone's going to come at him.
Yeah. I never thought I would curse in the middle of a basketball game. First time I ever did, my mom just happened to be in the stands.
Ooh.
Exactly. So you never think you're going to do something because you've been taught not to.
Yeah, I know.
But
hopefully he just shows them, like, this is what you need to do. This is how you act. And you know what? You might mess up here and there, but as long as I get a chance to be able to monitor, you know, I see parents always talk about to me at some of these schools that they allow their kid to follow me on Instagram. So there's only a select few, I guess, celebrities. I don't consider myself a celebrity, but that's what they say. And I started to think about it a little bit. To me, it's not a lot of pressure, but it makes me feel good that I hear a parent actually say that. Like, I don't let her follow everybody, but she follows you. I let her follow you because of what you stand for. And so I take that to heart every time that I post something on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, that you never know who's watching, because I don't want that same feeling that your daughter had. That I don't want some kid to have that feeling. Like, I'm offended by that, or he's like making fun of, like, you know, my race, or you know what I'm saying? Something like that. I don't want any kid out there to have that feeling, like, oh man, that post that Jared Payton just posted didn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
I don't want that. And so I try to, you know, make sure that everything is either about me or it's positive, that it's uplifting people. Hope everybody enjoyed DAD, Down and Distance, with me and Sean Davis here on WGNplus.com. Check out next week. We'll be breaking down some more sports and some more issues that parents have and what it's like being a parent in this new day and age. Well, you guys, man, DAD, we're here. Now we're gone. Peace.